Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to be with you this morning. It's good to have those of you who are able to be with us physically here to worship together. It's also great to have those of you who are worshiping with us online through our live streaming to be with us to worship God together. And this morning, one thing that I forgot to mention as we began this morning in announcements, the elders have decided that our Friends Day, we had some plans, and I announced those a few weeks ago. We were going to do an event concerning life planning and all of those kinds of things. We're going to postpone that event, so we will not be having our Friends Day event this year. We postpone that till the spring, again, just because things are not really improving greatly enough with the coronavirus that we feel like it would be where we'd be able to do all that. So just keep that in mind. And along with all of the other things that we've been talking about, as far as what we're doing, we're basically the same thing we've been going along with communion being the individual cups, those kinds of things. We're not doing any fellowship meals or any of those events. We are, however, doing our third Sunday movie night. And so this evening, 5 o'clock, right here in the auditorium, Brian will be showing this movie, I Still Believe. We will not be serving popcorn, but you are welcome to bring your own if you would like to do that. So keep that in mind. Again, we're not doing any kind of food or anything like that. So those are just trying to keep everybody safe and so forth. Again, as Wes mentioned, you know, when it comes to contributions, we certainly do appreciate everybody has been giving, and we appreciate all of that. And you can continue to give those contributions by snail mail or by the PayPal, either one of those. And again, just a thank you to everyone as you've been contributing, and our contribution has been kept up, and we certainly do appreciate all of that. So, we began this series of lessons several weeks ago asking this question in the beginning: how well do you know God? Okay, and one of the things that we talked about with that is the fact that there's a lot of people who don't know God very much at all. There's also a lot of people, they don't know a lot about God, but a lot of people know a lot that isn't so. Okay, so there's a lot of misunderstandings and things of that nature just about God out there amongst people who say, well, yeah, I believe in God or I know God, but they know a lot of things that just aren't really so. This series of lessons is not about knowing about God, but it's really about getting to know God. And there's a big difference between those things. Again, a lot of people have a lot of information, but we're not talking about just information. We're talking about a personal relationship with God. And specifically, in this series of lessons, what we're trying to do is to focus on interacting with God in some very valuable ways. Ways that will take that interaction, will help to raise our level of relationship. Just increase it to a whole nother level is really what we're talking about here. It's not just informational, but experiential. I don't want to just give you information about God. Most of you already know about this stuff. But it's really challenging us in an experiential way to get to know God in ways perhaps we've never really known Him before. We've been talking about 7 areas of interaction that we need to have in order to increase or to raise our level of our relationship with God. We've talked about grace, where we began in this study. We talked about God's justice. We talked about accepting God's discipline in our lives. We talked about God's love and His sovereignty. This morning, we're going to talk about engaging God in prayer. And next week, we plan to finish this series of lessons talking about God's victory. All of these things is about building a relationship with God, increasing that relationship, but it is also about helping other people to have a relationship with God. It's not about just us, okay? This is about taking our relationship and sharing with other people to help them and changing their life with a relationship with Christ. It is about helping people to experience interaction with God in the very same things we're talking about here. Those people in our Jerusalem and our Judea and our Samaria, to help save as many people as we can. So today, as we continue this series of lessons, we're talking about engaging God in prayer. All right? What does that really mean? Well, this morning what I want to do is focus on three things concerning the needs of prayer. In other words, when we pray, there are some things that we need to be considering and thinking of and so forth in our prayer. These are the needs, I'm putting it this way, the needs of prayer in order that we may engage with God in that prayer. You know, prayer is kind of in a lot of ways, it's a very simple thing. It's just basically talking to God. It's having a conversation with Him. But at the same time, we run a risk, because it is a simple thing, we run a risk of oversimplifying it and taking it too nonchalantly and just, you know, saying some stuff because it's time to pray, and we're not really engaging God in prayer. And that's what I want to focus on this morning. The very first thing in these three needs is that prayer needs to be learned. A prayer needs to be learned. In Luke's gospel, one of the things that we find is that he very frequently mentions or observes Jesus' disciples watching or observing Jesus in prayer. For instance, in chapter 3 and verse 21, it says, "When all the people were baptized, Jesus also was baptized, and as he was praying, heaven opened up, and the Lord spoke and said, 'This is my Son in whom I love.'" Okay, so here Jesus was praying. Chapter 5 and verse 10, Luke tells us Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. And in chapter 6 and verse 12, it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray, and continued all night in prayer to God. And then in chapter 9, verse 18, "Once when Jesus was praying in private and his disciples were with him, he asked them," and that goes on to say, after this prayer that he had, he asked them the question, "Who do people say that I am?" But again, notice that he was praying. All right? And then in verses 28 and 29 of chapter 9, it says, "Now about 8 days after these sayings, he took with him Peter and John and James and went up to the mountain to pray. And as he was praying, the appearance of his face was altered and his clothing became bright." And this is telling about the appearance of Jesus and the transfiguration on the mountain. You see? But again, notice that he went up there on the mountain to pray. So Jesus' disciples were observing him on many, many occasions where he spent time in prayer, okay? And so in the beginning of the text, in chapter 11, verse 1, where Holloway read for us as we began, it tells us this, as the disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray." All right? You ever wondered why they asked him that question? Perhaps, maybe they were struck with the manner in which he prayed, right? Perhaps they wanted that kind of a prayer life. In other words, seeing the kind of prayer life that Jesus had, observing Jesus in prayer over and over and over again, I can't help but wonder if maybe they looked at that and said, "Boy, I'd like to have that kind of a prayer life. Lord, teach us how to pray." Okay? Now, it's not that the disciples likely didn't know how to pray. All right? It's not like Jesus introduced a new idea or concept in terms of prayer. The Old Testament is full of prayers and it's full of examples of people praying. So they were familiar with prayer, and likely they prayed on occasion. Okay? And so in this particular text, where it tells us, for what great nation is there that has a God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us whenever we call upon Him? Okay? That's prayer, Deuteronomy. Right? In 1 Kings chapter 8, and concerning the building of the temple and so forth, you give attention to your servant's prayer and his plea for mercy. Lord my God, hear the cry and the prayer that your servant is praying in your presence this day. So you see, they prayed, the Israelites prayed during the Old Testament time. The disciples likely prayed themselves. I can't imagine that there weren't at least a couple of occasions when those who were fishermen of the disciples were out there on the boat and a storm came up and there wasn't some praying going on. You see? They prayed, I'm sure. But yet, one day, when Jesus was praying in a certain place, when he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. You see, they saw something. Okay, they wanted to learn how to pray. So praying needs to be learned. They wanted to learn how to pray. And they asked Jesus, teach us how to pray. And in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus discussed, first of all, some ways not to pray. Okay? Notice that he says, when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they like to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners so that they may be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. And so Jesus, first of all, says, don't pray for show like the hypocrites. So that's one of the things they needed to learn, okay, about how not to pray. And in chapter 6 and verse 7, he says, when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. So don't pray for show. In fact, he goes on to say in that part of it, go into your closet and close the door and where it's just between you and God. And don't just keep on talking and running your mouth and saying a bunch of stuff because you think that the more words you say, the more God's going to hear you. That's what the pagans did in their worship. They would just keep on repeating things over and over and over and over again. Some translations use the phrase vain repetitions. So Jesus says, don't pray like that. All right? But let me teach you how to pray. Because that's what they wanted, isn't it? Lord, teach us to pray. Though they were used to praying, this perhaps was going to raise their conversation, if you will, with God to a whole new level. You know, there is a difference in communication, isn't there? You know, there's communication where one person says something, the other person goes, mm-hmm. You know, and us guys, we're famous for that, aren't we, ladies? You know, we tend to respond by just grunts and sounds a little bit, okay? And what we need to do is to raise the level of our communication with other people to more than just grunts and sounds, right? We need to engage in conversation with a person. And that's really what we're talking about here. And I think that's perhaps what the disciples were wanting to do. And watching Jesus pray, they're saying, we need to pray in a whole different way. What Jesus is doing is something different than what they were used to. And so, Lord, teach us to pray like you pray, I think is perhaps what they were saying. It implies this, that we should take care that we don't enter thoughtlessly into God's presence. Because when we're praying, that's exactly what we're doing. We're entering into the presence of God to engage with Him in conversation, and we need to do that thoughtfully rather than carelessly. And what Jesus teaches them, okay, He begins by sharing with them what we oftentimes refer to as the model prayer or the Our Father. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And He shares that instruction or guidelines, not intended to be a prayer that is recited over and over and over again, but rather intended to be guidelines for things that we need to be thinking about while we're praying, as we are conversing with God. Okay, so He shares that with them in the first four verses of Luke chapter 11. He then gives two illustrations about prayer. And these are vitally important for us to understand when it comes to engaging God in prayer. All right? And that really is all about being able to have a conversation with God. Again, I'm challenging us to raise the level of that conversation from grunts and noises and so forth to actual conversation with God, engaging with God. And that brings us to need number two of prayer. Prayer needs to be persistent. Okay? So Jesus then, basically He's telling a parable here. All right, and He says there's a certain man who goes to his neighbor. He has this visitor that comes to him unannounced. And so this man goes to his neighbor, and Jesus says, at midnight. Now, what is the significance of Him saying at midnight? Because it is the least opportune hour, okay? Who goes to their neighbor at midnight asking for a favor? All right? But yet, that's what Jesus says. He goes to his neighbor at midnight, and He says to him, please, loan me three loaves of bread. I have a visitor that's come, and I don't have anything to feed him. And the neighbor basically just sends him away. He's going, what's wrong with you? Do you realize what time it is? I mean, isn't that how you and I would respond? You know, do you know what time it is? It's midnight. We're already in bed. Go away and leave us alone. How dare you come and wake us up in the middle of the night asking for bread? Are you nuts? Okay, I mean, you know, that's kind of how the conversation would go, isn't it? Okay? And yet Jesus says, but the man gives him the bread because of the man's importunity. Some translations, and that's really the word that is used in the Greek language here. What does that word mean? Importunity. Okay? In the Greek, the word is anadia. And here's basically what it means. W.E. Vine, in his expository dictionary of New Testament words, says it means shameless importunity. He says it is used in the Lord's illustration, the one that we're talking about, concerning the need of earnestness and perseverance in prayer. If shameless persistence can obtain a boon from a neighbor, then certainly earnest prayer will receive our Father's answer. Okay? Now, Webster defines importunity this way: troublesomely urgent, overly persistent in request or demand. So, in other words, it's somebody who we might call pushy. Okay? And at the least opportune time. Again, we might look at that and respond by going, how dare you wake me up in the middle of the night for this? I mean, think about it this way. As parents, how many times you get upset and your child wakes up in the middle of the night and asks for a glass of water? Do you know what time it is? Jesus says that this man gave him the bread because of his persistence. In Luke chapter 18, Jesus tells a parable that is referred to as the parable of the persistent widow. And at the beginning of chapter 18, in verse 1, it tells us Jesus, in order to encourage his disciples to pray and to never give up, told them this parable. So again, Jesus is teaching them how to pray, and one of the things that he's teaching them is the need to be persistent in prayer, to not give up when we pray. God doesn't always answer our prayers immediately, does he? Right? In fact, sometimes I think he's not even answering them. We need to understand that doesn't imply that God just doesn't want to be bothered by us, and that's not what Jesus is intending by telling this little parable. Okay? We cannot be, and this is his purpose, we cannot be discouraged because his answer is delayed. We need to continue praying persistently. All right? Sometimes, okay, God tries our faith by making us wait. Okay? Sometimes that's why we have to wait. There are some other reasons we'll talk about in a moment, but sometimes that's what it is, okay? And that's, in other words, another reason, rather, why we should never stop praying. Albert Barnes, in his commentary on this passage, says this: he leaves them, that is God, leaves them to persevere months or years until they feel entirely their dependence on him, until they see that they can obtain the blessing in no other way, and until they are prepared to receive it. Those are reasons why sometimes God will wait to answer our prayers. Okay? Do we really feel dependent upon God? Do we feel really within our heart that there's no other provider that can answer this prayer for me? And do we have enough faith in God to know that he knows what is best for us, and especially when we're not ready to receive even what we're asking for? I mean, it's like kids. A lot of times kids will come and they'll ask their parents for something. You know, it's like that candy bar before dinner, right? Can I have some candy or some cookies, right? And the parent says, no. Why? Because it's not the proper time. And we need to understand that God is the ultimate parent, isn't he? And he knows when we're not ready to receive something, knowing that if he gives us something before we are ready, then chances are we either won't appreciate it or we'll ruin the blessing. And so God wants us to be prepared to receive whatever it is that we're asking for and wanting. Jesus goes on to say, ask and it will be given, seek and you will find, and knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and he who knocks, the door will be opened. Now, you need to understand something about the statement. Those are promises that God is making to us. But we also need to understand, okay, that God is not promising to give us everything that we want. All right? So, you know, going to God and saying, okay, God, I need a new Cadillac. All right? God may say, ain't nothing wrong with that little Subaru you got, okay? And keep in mind that the Cadillac and the Subaru both belong to God anyway, right? Okay, so it's not just a matter of us telling God what we want. God is not Santa Claus, all right? And he's not there to just fill our wish list with whatever it is we decide that we want or need. That's not what he means when he talks about asking, seeking, and knocking, all right? He promises to give us what we need, okay, in this life. Ask, seek, and knock. Therefore, it implies, first of all, earnestness and diligence and perseverance in our prayer, in asking, seeking, and knocking. Right? But we have got to ask with the proper spirit and with humility and sincerity. We ask for those things which are consistent for God to give. All right? Further, we ask for those things which would be best for us. And then, finally, we ask for those things which are consistent with His will. So when Jesus tells us to ask, seek, and knock, these are the parameters, okay, that asking, seeking, and knocking needs to take place in. Not just a wish list that we put together and say, boy, if I could only have this, then life would be great. That's not what prayer life is really all about, and it's certainly not what asking, seeking, and knocking is about. Okay? And then finally, prayer needs to be with confidence. How many times have you ever prayed to God with just this lack of confidence, says, oh, I don't even, why I'm even bothering to ask him, he's not going to answer me anyway. Anybody ever done that? Different times of our lives, especially when whatever we're praying about has been going on and on and on, it's easy to fall out of confidence, isn't it? But what we need to understand is that we need to have prayer. If we're going to engage God in prayer, we need to do that with confidence. Well, what do we mean by that? Well, here Jesus uses parents as an example to teach us the importance of that confidence, okay? Look at what he says. He talks about a bread and a stone. He talks about an egg and a scorpion. And he talks about a fish and a serpent, all right? He says, which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, we'll give him a scorpion. See, in other words, that we need to have the confidence that we go to God and we ask him that he's not going to give us something else that's going to harm us. But rather, he's going to give us what is best for us and in our best interest, just like a parent will. Look at what he says. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? In other words, God knows how to bless us. You see, when we pray to God, when we engage him in prayer, God never sits there and goes, let's see, how am I going to handle this? He doesn't wonder. He doesn't just kind of confused, try to figure out, what am I going to do here? God is our Father who loves us, and he wants to bless our lives. And I promise you, there are many times before you even ask him, he's got blessings already chosen and decided for us. Sometimes it's just a matter of he's waiting for you to ask. Okay? But he's going to do that. He's going to respond as a loving parent would respond to his child. And we need to have that kind of confidence. We should ask him, we should approach him with that kind of confidence. Look at what John writes in 1 John 3. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask because we obey his commands and do what pleases him. Confidence before God. And we need to engage God in prayer with confidence, with that kind of confidence. See, that He's going to answer our prayers. Now, understand, that doesn't mean He's always going to give us what we want. It doesn't mean He's always going to answer our prayer the way we want Him to. But He's going to answer it as a loving Father who will do what is in our best interest. But He will answer those prayers. In chapter 5, in verses 14 and 15 of 1 John, He says, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God." Engaging Him in prayer, we need to have confidence in approaching Him that way. That if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of Him. Confidence. Engaging God in prayer with confidence. Have you been just kind of maybe grunting and snorting and making some noise in response to God? Has that been what your prayer life is about? The challenge for us is to learn to engage God in conversation, that is, in prayer with Him. And that means we need to learn how to pray better. We need to be persistent in that prayer. And we need to go to God in confidence. Confidence that He is going to answer our prayers in His way, in His time. But it will always be according to His will and in our best interest. So the challenge that I issue this morning is for us to really seek to raise the level of our relationship with God by actually engaging Him in prayer in these ways. Right? And knowing God in that way makes all the difference in the world in our relationship with Him. Now, Tom has a song that he's chosen for us to use as an invitation song. And in just a moment, we're going to stand together. Those of us who are here physically are going to stand together and sing this song. Those of you who are worshiping with us online, we encourage you. You can either sit or stand wherever you are, but encourage you to join us in this song. And realize that what we're doing is using this opportunity to extend an invitation for anyone to be able to come and to say, hey, I need some prayers for this, or I need this in my life. And let us know whatever we might do to help you, to serve you. And even, you know, you may have something really great that's going on in your life and you want to share that with us. We like to hear about those things also. There is also, especially amongst those who are viewing us online this morning with the live streaming, there may be somebody out there who's not yet a Christian. You have not given your life to Christ. You need to understand that you are still separated from God by your sin, and then thus you are lost. But the great news is that you can be saved, and you can do that today. You don't have to wait for any special event to happen or anything like that. If that's you and you are realizing that it's time for you to give your life to Christ, the invitation is open to you. All you need to do is to contact us, send a text to us, let us know, call us, that's what you want to do, and we will do whatever is necessary as soon as possible to baptize you into Christ Jesus. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, then it's time for you to make Him Lord of your life. Call upon Him as your Lord and repent of the sin that is separating you from God and have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. The invitation is extended to everyone, and Dale is not able to be with us this morning, but Dale can still take your prayer request if you want to text him. He'll still take your prayer request, or you can text Wes at the number that will be on the screen there, and we will answer whatever those prayer requests are in the next few moments. And, of course, anybody that is here physically with us, you have a prayer request or whatever response you have, you can come up and just let me know, and we will handle that right now this morning. Let's stand together and sing.